And he's doing donut, and he starts doing donuts in the middle of the intersection of Roscoe and Balboa.
What?
And I was like, that guy's ridiculous. And he loses it on the like, he does like three donuts, but his third donut, his back end slips out, and he pulls himself. He just threw himself into a pole.
Serves him right, man. I mean,
in a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Happy Friday, Ted. It is episode 150 of the Trailer Junkies podcast.
Yes. How are you?
I am fantastic. How about you?
I'm good.
Yeah. So I heard you got Belgian beer tonight.
Yeah, I have some Belgians. I was gifted some other beers over the New Year's. And this one is called, it's Omgang Brewery in Cooperstown, New York.
Omgang.
Yeah. Omgang?
Gangnam style.
And it's called Three Philosophers, a blend of quadruple ale and creek ale with cherries.
So quadruple. Wow, that sounds like it's high in alcohol. And a creek ale. What is there, like crayfish in there or something?
I don't know. We'll see. Hope not.
How many ABV is it? It's got to be high.
Well, it's 9.7. So it's
oh,
good.
Okay. It's not super high. So I have Slow Brew out of San Luis Obispo. So Slow San Luis Obispo. For the people that don't know, it's mostly local to here. Probably about an hour's drive north of here. It's a churro pastry stout.
Oh, I think I saw a picture of this one.
This thing sounds like a donut in a can. So let's see how it is. All right, I got a can here, and let me pour it, and then I'll let you know the ABVs and everything.
Okay. Mine is definitely cherry forward. So as you know, I'm not a huge fan of Belgians, but I like quality Belgians, or I guess
for sure, yeah.
All Belgians are quality, but
I'm sure I haven't tasted it yet, but I'm sure mine's going to be donut forward. 7.5. So you have me tonight on the ABV, and mine's only 15 IBU.
Huh?
Wow.
Mellow.
I think that's IBU. I can't. Yeah, whatever. I can't see what it is. It's way too small, but I'll call it 15. Well, it says 15. I don't know what the other thing is, but let me take a sip here.
How does it hit your nose? How does it hit the nose there?
Stouty.
Yeah?
Yeah. It doesn't really come across as like deep fried pastries or anything.
Okay.
Oh, it hits the palate like fried dough. Oh, wow. The aftertaste on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I just took a huge bite from a donut. Wow, is this weird? This is like
don't make me hungry. I gave up desserts for Lent. So
yeah, well, you know, I'd have to say if you gave up dessert for Lent, but you're still okay with drinking beer as a non-dessert.
Yeah,
this is your happy medium.
This is the cheat code.
This is the cheat code. This gets you into dessert space without a dessert while having a beer, and it's like you're eating a chocolatey churro. Churros y chocolate. All right. We'll talk about these maybe at the end when they warm up a little bit, and we'll see how they really blossom and bloom.
Mm-hmm.
So your week, what's been going on this week?
Well, this week we had multiple things going on. We had Ash Wednesday. We had Fat Tuesday. And those things are related, so that's okay.
Right.
And then we had as well as Lunar New Year. So we celebrated Lunar New Year at work.
Like Chinese New Year.
Well, that's what they used to call it, yes.
Oh, they don't call it that anymore?
It's Lunar New Year because all of the Asian cultures like celebrate it, not just the...
Is that the same thing as Tet in Vietnam?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know that one. I know there was like the Tet Offensive and all that stuff, and yeah.
Right. And that was their New Year, but I think it's a different... Well, I don't know.
Come on. You're speaking from a quarter Pacific Islander here.
I'm half Pacific Islander. Come on.
Oh, you're half. Okay, you're half. I thought you were a quarter.
But yeah, so, and it was fun. At work, we I hosted, I said, oh, I'll do something for the Lunar New Year, you know? And I was trying to do something beyond just a Zoom, because everybody has Zooms and we have like Zoom mixers and things like that. And did I tell you about this gather.town?
Gather.town?
Yeah, it's a website.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, no. So it's a website. Check it out.
Okay.
Gather.town. And basically it's like 2D. It's like you're playing Zelda back in the day.
Oh yeah, I love Zelda.
And you walk around and you can hang out with your coworkers. You just invite your coworkers to a space and you can hang out there and play games and chat and do stuff like that.
And where do you walk? I mean, like, where do you walk to, or what do you do? So like all of a sudden there's like a sword, you pick it up and like start hacking away at like your boss?
Well, no, it just looks like Zelda, you know what I mean? you play other games in there. You can play like Sudoku and poker and like fishbowl. And
you don't like find weapons and start beating the no. hell out of the coworkers you can't stand?
Yeah, I'm very sorry. No, it's kind of like Among Us, but then if I said that to you, I don't think you know what Among Us is, do you?
Never heard of that one either.
Your kids are too young to play Among Us, but my kids are.
And right, I'm too right, old,
right,
so.
Right, my kids are right in the wheelhouse. And
that's right.
So what did you do? Did you do something fun this week?
I don't know about fun, but I hacked my iMac.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, I was running Catalina.
The old one.
Well, it's a 2013. It's the one I'm on right now. I mean, the thing.
Oh. I thought you meant the laptop in the garage.
Oh, that old MacBook Pro. That's a 2007, man. That thing is, we still use it for like training software.
Right.
But it doesn't, yeah, you can't do much with it. It's just way too old at this point. It doesn't have the, I have a 2013 iMac that is my primary machine. Mm-hmm. When I bought it with the intent to use it for a good long while. And I have like a Core i7 with, I forget, 3.5 gigahertz processor. Mm-hmm. And I think it has like 32 gigs of RAM and stuff. So I like, at the time, I got the highest end iMac you could get.
Right, because you needed it to last.
Yeah, I wanted it to last, and I didn't want, you know, because I've had experience with computers in the past where, oh, wow, great computer. 2 years later, you're like, it's just bogged down, not enough RAM, you know. So
yeah.
I got the best one at the time, you know, 2013. It's going on 8 years. But with this latest release of iOS... not iOS, but Mac OS Big Sur,
right.
My computer wasn't supported.
Mm.
And I was really upset. I'm like, how could it not be supported? You know, like it's powerful enough. And, you know, and the thing just runs. I mean, I don't notice any hiccups. It does everything I need it to do. Edits my photos. I do minimal video, but the video I do, I have no issue. It renders it pretty quick and everything. So the thing still is a rock star computer. If it's a Windows computer, probably would have been on my fourth one by now. You know, no knock on the Windows fanboys.
You mean Bryce.
Okay, sure. Quite frankly, I would prefer to use Linux, but Linux just doesn't have, I mean, it doesn't have certain programs I need, you know, but
yeah,
that's a whole other story. Anyway, so what I wound up doing was I've been putting it off and thinking, I'm like, oh man, should I go through and do like, and hack it to where you can put Big Sur on and everything. And then I thought to myself, you know what? They came up with more updates on these like patcher things and stuff to be able, because essentially it runs a script that says, oh, this is the year of your computer. You can't do it.
Right.
So pretty much when I say it's like a hack, it's one of these USB type things where it overrides that.
Oh, good. Okay.
And all it says pretty much is...
it's a newer computer.
You could still install it. It just bypasses the check. The check for the year of your computer.
Right,
yeah, exactly. And I was hearing like horror stories about like, oh, you know, if you have a Fusion drive or if it's this kind of a Mac, whatever, it's going to run terrible. And I'm just like, oh, I'm not going to do it. So I forget when it came out. Maybe it was November or something. And I haven't done it, you know. And I thought, what the heck? Do a Time Machine backup. If it's horrible, if the performance and everything is horrible, I just restore from Time Machine. I'm back where I was.
Right.
So I backed it up, and then I went through the whole process. The whole process probably took about 3 hours.
Okay.
I keep ready back, or, you know, consistent backups anyway, so that wasn't really part of it. But just the whole process of the patching software to the downloading to the install, everything, about 3 hours. it probably runs better now than I think it's ever run.
Oh, that's great.
I was so worried it was going to, like, you know, because I heard stories, oh, it takes all day to boot, you know,
right.
Or, oh, it's so sluggish. The Wi-Fi doesn't work and all this. No problems, no issues. It runs stellar. However, if anybody's out there on a similar machine, do it at your own risk. I'm not saying do it. So I'm not, if you brick your machine, it's on you. Though you really can't brick it. But yeah, other than that, I mean, it's, you know, I don't really see, I think Catalina, I would have been just as fine with Catalina.
Right.
There's a couple, I mean, there might be under the hood things I'm totally unaware of, which I think there are.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, like cosmetically and stuff is really all it is. A few buttons here and there got moved around and changed. But otherwise, it's pretty much the same thing as Catalina. I don't see a huge difference.
Right, right. I'm still running Mojave over here, so.
Mojave? Is that on a work computer?
Yeah, that's the work one.
Yeah, they don't want Big Sur to take down like Disney, you know?
Yeah, we're always operating like a couple behind or one.
Probably
or two
a
behind.
Smart thing to do anyway.
Yeah, you know, they like to get all the bugs out and have all the other systems working in working with it and stuff.
Oh, for sure.
But speaking of doing things at your own risk, you're still not in Bitcoin, man?
Bitcoin? No. Nope. You are?
Oh man, I love me some Bitcoin.
Okay. So you do you have more than one coin?
I have a fraction of a coin.
Okay, well there you go. I don't care what the value is, but what's the percentage of coinage you have?
Oh,
like 10%, 20%?
Oh, not even. It's even smaller than that.
Oh, okay. Half a percent.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, they let you buy slices as little as, I guess 2 years ago, I bought $10, right? And that was just dabbling. And then when it started to take off.
Okay, a $10 purchase is like going to get a couple cups of coffee. Wait, don't tell me you're a millionaire.
Now I have $1 million. Yes. No.
$1 million in Bitcoin.
No, but a couple months ago, I was like, all right, when anybody says anything about Bitcoin, when I hear it like in regular, you know, talk, if I hear people talking about it, I'm going to put $50 in there, right? Because do you know the Cash App?
Every time you hear somebody talk about Bitcoin, you buy $50?
That was my theory a couple months ago.
Okay.
So I did that. I then.
Like on a podcast or something.
Yeah, or just somewhere.
Not just some yokel on the street.
Well, I mean, when are we on the streets? You know, if I was running down the street and somebody said, touché, you know, Bitcoin, I would buy $100. But I did it like three or four times.
There's a guy selling you Bitcoin out of his trench coat.
He's got a shiny Bitcoin in his coat.
Yeah, exactly.
But no,
that's a bit of a coin.
So I did that. Then I had $200. I had $210 in there. And then I was like, oh, I should go bigger. So
where do you buy it? Like on a trading website of sorts or?
No, like a little app. So do you know the Cash App?
Yeah.
So the Cash App bought their own Bitcoin. So they bought like, I don't know, $2 billion worth of Bitcoin.
I mean, you're not doing this on like Vanguard or something.
No. I just do it on the Cash App. I just go in the Cash App and just say, move, you know, X, $100 from the account, from the bank account to the Bitcoin. And I buy it there.
And you trust Cash. I mean, it's legit.
Cash App's like Square. You know, it's the same.
Yeah, no, Square, I know what it is. I mean, I'm just saying it's legit.
Yeah,
though.
It's totally legit. And they own it themselves. So there's no gap. You know, like if you buy it on a market, when you buy it, you're buying it and then you're waiting for it to settle in 2 days.
Now, you're not using Disney computers to do like the mining and stuff, are you?
Oh, I wish. You know, I wish I knew how to mine it. You know, I would, you know, we have Bryce's PC over there. I should figure out how to mine it.
Take receded down on the power grid because it requires so much energy.
But my thing is like, you know, once the institutions got into it, I was like, oh, this is the time where it's going to start taking off. Then I said, I think the majority of my stuff got in around 30,000 when the Bitcoin was 30,000. And today it went over 57,000
for one coin.
For one coin.
Wow.
So and the total market cap of Bitcoin is $1 trillion today. So
your $200 investment is what, $5,000 or something? Or
no, I see it. It was, but I got in late. But you know, it seems like it's. To me, I feel the beginning of a snowball. So I'm hoping.
Wow.
Because Tesla bought last week. They bought like $2 billion worth of Bitcoin. And
holy cow.
There's a lot of corporations and institutions starting to invest.
So what you just told me is get out of Tesla stock? Is that what you... I don't know, man. Okay, have you heard, though, like, people going into these small towns in, like, New Hampshire or, you know, wherever they're going, Vermont or something, and they like, or Utah, whatever it is, and they pull up in some tiny town, and they move into, like, a warehouse and set up, like, a Bitcoin mining server farm?
I would love to know how to mine Bitcoin. All I know, I don't know that yet.
They go in there, and they set up this server farm.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I mean, probably tens of thousands of processors, maybe more processors, hard drives, all this stuff, and they're mining this, you know, and essentially it's doing like these hard math problems, but it takes such
processor power.
A massive amount of computer computation power
mm-hmm.
that like they're taking down the power grids of these small towns and stuff. Yeah, Bitcoin is insane, man. Yakamoto or Yashimoto or
right,
what's his name? I don't even know. But
I don't know. And that's the other cool thing about Cash App. They have a whole little infograph, so you can learn a little bit about it. But
well, and they don't know if the guy, let's just call him, I think it's Yashimoto or something. Mm-hmm. It's something similar to that. But they don't know if that's the a guy who made it or like an organization or a team of people. It's like a moniker, and they can't figure it out. You know,
right,
it's
right.
Man, you'd think they'd come forward. It's amazing. The anonymity is deafening.
It's amazing. Love it.
Yeah. And then another minor thing. Next Thursday, I'll find out more.
Okay.
But I was invited to Lompoc Trails. And Lompoc Trails is more or less like a bicycle advocacy type committee for like local trails and things in the area. And I guess they're doing their annual meeting and they want to like vote in a new board or something.
Okay.
So somehow I think they're trying to like, Jim,
they're drafting you into the chairman of the board.
Come here. This would be a great thing. Why don't you come have a glass of wine, sit down, let's get on. And they're doing it in person for the first time, in like a year at it's outside in a courtyard of a winery that's in town here. And there weren't a lot of people on the email, which was weird. So I don't know what to expect. I'm like, wait, why are they calling me in? Are they gonna? All right, we need you. You are our new leader. So I'll have more to report.
You're gonna go into this dark room. You're gonna hear the door lock behind you.
Oh, God, I don't know. But I'll have more info next week. But yeah, that was they DM'd me through Instagram.
Nice.
Said, what's your email? We want to invite you. So I said, OK, you know, so I gave my email and I actually recognize a number of people in the email, which is kind of surprising. Uh-huh. So we'll see what to expect.
What's up with Lompoc? Everybody parks in the bike lane nonstop over there.
Oh, God, it drives me insane. Dude, that's all they do. It's like everybody they're like, here comes Jim. Get in front of him. Park.
So let him take a picture.
Let him take a picture.
Smile for the camera.
Yeah. And then to finish up, today is Timmy's 8th birthday.
Oh, wow. Celebrating this weekend?
8 years old. Yeah, he's two of his buddies. We're, you know, they're kind of like in our little bubble in a sense. So
the pod, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to have a sleepover tomorrow night, order some pizza. And his theme for his birthday is Jurassic World.
Nice.
And we're going to watch the original Jurassic Park.
Okay.
So, yeah, and then, like I said, pizza, popcorn. It'll be his buddy Jacob and Ethan from school.
Uh-huh.
And then you know, Mike, of course, will be involved. So the four boys will do all that stuff. And hopefully Mikey doesn't, you know, antagonize him too much and completely annoy him to death.
Right,
and
right.
Yeah. And then in the morning, you know, make breakfast and stuff. I don't know, pancakes or sausage or something. Who knows? But yeah, Tim's 8th birthday, man.
It's amazing.
8 years ago today. It's unbelievable. I was a blubbering mess. Anything else you have to share to us to the junkies of trailers?
That's about it. You know, we had a nice socially distant Fat Tuesday. What was it? A jambalaya. Anne made a jambalaya, and Frank made some Pat O'Brien hurricanes. So
he was telling me, yeah. And did you have any of the hurricanes with the bad juice?
No, I did not. He made that at home, and he was like, okay. I tried to make it with the juice, and I just couldn't in good consciousness serve that.
Yeah, he said he made them. I said, because I gave him a recipe, you know,
uh-huh.
And you know, like Pusser's rum, and I forget what it is, some sort of passion fruit thing or something. I don't remember exactly, but I have it written down. And I said, oh, did you use the recipe I gave you? He said, no, I just had, you know, like the Pat O'Brien's mix. I said, oh, okay. He said, I had this juice. It was pre-open from like a year ago. I'm like, a year ago, what was your first clue? It was good, you know? So he tries it. He's like, oh, it was terrible.
It was terrible. Okay. Oh, I forgot. So we had wind last weekend. I guess we didn't.
Oh, I saw the fence.
Yeah, the fence got blown down. It was like a big bad wolf in the backyard, and it just blew the fence down. And it was funny. Our neighbor to the back.
Which side was it?
It was directly in the back.
Oh, behind you. Okay.
Behind us.
The neighbors I don't know.
Exactly. And we didn't know them either. So that...
Until the fence blew down.
Until the fence blew down. And I was like, oh, you're out in your, you know, in your robes. Okay.
You kind of peek. Like, it's one of those things where you're like on the part of the fence that's still standing. And like your head just leans into the side. The and you're like, area. Howdy, neighbor. With like the one hand, like the one move wave. Yeah. You know?
And then, you know, so I saw it at like 8 o'clock on Valentine's Day morning. So Sunday morning. And I went to the kitchen, looked out the window. There's our neighbor's yard.
How high were the winds?
They said 40, but I swear they had to be higher than that to knock a fence down.
Yeah, 40. Like we've had up to 50 recently.
Yeah,
50's pretty high. I don't think it would knock the fence down.
Right. Well, I mean, the fence wasn't in the best of shape, but still.
Yeah, you had to have been above 50, I bet.
I think so.
Wow, that's pretty intense wind.
So I was back there, and I'd called Frank, and I was, you know, Frank was on his way over, and then the neighbor came out in her, you know, in her robe.
Negligee.
No.
Oh, okay. No.
Very nice, very nice, very tasteful neighbor in her, you know, not ready, but, you know, just like in her backyard.
Early 60s in a negligee.
No, they're about our age. Maybe they're younger than us for sure. Maybe like 30s or something. They have a little baby. And she was like, I've called the insurance company. I don't know when they're going to come by. And then we're like,
yeah, but you don't want to make a claim on like a couple $100. I mean,
well, that's what I, you know, so I chuckled a little bit. Then Frank came over, you know, he was over there in a few minutes, and the husband came out and she went inside, and I was like, oh, damn, I should have gotten their phone number. They're gone and we're going to try to put this thing back. So the husband came out and he was like, oh, as my wife said, we called the insurance. And Frank's like, you don't want to make a claim. This is below deductible cost. Let's just take care. We know. And he goes, well, I don't know if you guys know what you're doing. And I was like, he built the whole addition on his house. I, you know, he and I did the guest house over here. You know, we can figure this out. And he goes, oh, this is great.
I can slap up some sticks.
And so we dug out the post and we did all that stuff. And we were going to town. And then he came out again and he's like, oh, it looks so good. You know, you guys did a good job. Like, have you done this before? And Frank said, I've never hung a fence before, you know?
Yeah, you just figure it out. Right?
And he's like, and then he said, oh, you know, I was thinking about making a fence over here. Between my other neighbor over here.
Can I hire you?
Can I hire you guys? And we both laughed.
No.
Like, no, we're doing this because we need to do this.
We're putting up a fence because it fell down. I don't want to add more fence.
I'm not, it's not my job. You know?
Right. You're like, come on, I do marketing for Disney. What do you mean?
I'm a trailer junkie, not a
totally.
fence maker. Anyway.
That's hilarious. All right, man. Speaking of trailer junkies, let's get into the Fast and Furious 9.
F9. It's like a function key on your desktop.
So looking at it, it's Fast and Furious 9.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the trailer, you see the Fast Saga. Is that a colon Fast Saga or what is that?
No, I think Fast Saga is like Star Wars.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
It's kind of their brand.
Oh, right. Now I'm following you. The whole saga is Fast and Furious.
Right.
They're calling it the Fast Saga. Got it. They're almost as many movies as Marvel.
Yeah. No. I mean, let's say schmovies again. I mean, this is a schmovie, you know. And again,
right.
it is rivaling Star Wars, and well, it can't rival Marvel. Marvel has, I think, 20.
They got to have plus. Over
20, 30. Yeah.
Way
but,
north.
But Star Wars, I mean, Star Wars has the 9 core and then what, two others?
Yeah, the stories.
So they only have...
They have 12.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know.
Wow.
This is a long franchise for...
They've been going on for like...
Racing cars.
Couple of decades.
Yeah. And I think Ann said, we haven't seen a single one of them. I said, yeah, we saw the one on the snow and they're in, you know, and they're doing missiles off the cars. And she was like, oh, that's right.
Wasn't there Tokyo Road or something or...
Well, Fast and Furious 3 is called Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift.
Tokyo Drift. That's what it was. Yeah. I want to say me and Clarissa have... I don't know how we have seen them. Reluctantly, maybe. I don't even know.
But they're fun. I mean, they're not, you know.
We've probably seen 2, possibly 3, and I would hate to say 4.
Wow, okay.
But we've probably seen about 2 to 3 of these. And, yeah, you know, it's... the thing that bothers me about these movies isn't the movie themselves. But it's like young guys, and I would probably say young guys are the demographic.
Yeah.
They watch this.
Mm-hmm.
They go and buy some Hellcat race car or something, thinking they're like Vinny D.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just drive around like lunatics, thinking they're Fast and Furious.
Right.
Like that. It's kind of like, you know, you watch the Guns of Navarone as a kid, and next thing you know, like you're playing soldier like you're killing Nazis or something.
Right, right. Yeah.
These guys are like watching this movie, and then they have enough money to like get themselves into debt with some massive payments on like a Dodge Charger or something,
right.
And then they buy like throaty aftermarket mufflers, and the next thing you know, they think like they're Vin Diesel or something.
Every time a glass pack muffler goes by us, Anne says, "Why do they do that? Why do they think that is cool?"
You know, yeah, it's a fart muffler. You know, I know, man.
My favorite thing is I went to Starbucks early in the morning one Sunday morning, and I was just waiting for my coffee, looking out the window at the corner of Roscoe and Balboa. You know that Starbucks up there?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm just waiting for my coffee, and you hear this guy rip down Roscoe. And he's, you know, it's like right when it opens. So it's like, what is it, 5:30?
6 a.m. or something. Or
it's like 5:30 in the morning, right?
So 5:30, yeah.
Nobody's out but this guy. And he's doing donuts. And he starts doing donuts in the middle of the intersection of Roscoe and Balboa.
What?
And I was like, that guy's ridiculous. And he loses it on the like he does like 3 donuts, but his 3rd donut, his back end slips out and he pulls himself. He just threw himself into a pole.
Serves him right, man. I mean, you know, I am at a loss for words how the lunacy in the way people operate their motor vehicles. It's just it's asinine.
Do you ever do donuts in your Urban Arrow?
I turn.
You drift a little bit.
I just go in circles. I don't really do. Yeah, exactly. In theaters. Wait, let me back up.
Okay.
In cinema. May 20th. Are they in Europe or something, or what is it with?
They must. I think I might have gotten a UK. What is it? Universal UK, because I wanted the official trailer. So I think that is cinema.
So you're saying this might not be the American version?
No, I mean, I don't know. I think I saw the American version. I saw the other stuff, but it wasn't on any of the. I mean, probably by the time this comes out, we'll have the U.S. trailer. But the early ones always seem to be out of the U.K. and then a whole bunch of, you know, different trailer YouTube channels grab that one and kind of slap their own stuff on it.
Like the telltale is cinema versus theater
or
something.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. May 22nd. So, I mean, that's coming up here in a few months. You think they know something we don't know?
I think they're just hoping for enough shots in arms to get it going. Are you on any schedule? Have you checked recently for you?
Well, just today, mm-hmm. the governor comes out and says they're reserving 10% of vaccines for educators.
Okay.
So I don't know where that lands me personally. I think that's a good thing that educators are going to be getting vaccinated. They're talking about elementary going back to school here within the month.
Right.
Get people vaccinated ASAP. I mean, even if you got vaccinated this week, you're still what, 3 to 5 weeks out or something for the second shot. Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see where the vaccine goes. But even if I were vaccinated, I think May might be a little bit early. I don't know if I would go to the theater in May.
Yeah, you're not going to guinea pig it. There's too many good movies at home. All the HBO Max stuff is all the Warner Brothers movies still coming out, you know?
That's a good way to put it. I would say that if we get vaccinated and you have herd immunity and all that stuff, I'm looking at the theater Christmas time, maybe like a Star Wars comes out at Christmas time or something. That might be the first I would do. I would probably spend my risk doing other things than sitting in a theater, like in a crowded space.
Right.
With the exception, I mean, if it was like every fifth seat and they had, you know, like call ahead reservations or something.
Yeah, okay.
And you knew you could get a good seat in a place that's not like cheek to jowls next to people. You know, I might go to the theater with that, you know,
right.
I'd have to be an island in the movie theater. I don't want to be
you and Clarissa. You don't have to be far from her.
Well, right. I'm just saying, like, me and my little pod, we would have to be like an island, and then there would be other islands around. But what I would also say is, if that's the model that they went with, you would need to still do streaming to TV. So let's say this was a rental on Google, Amazon, you know, for $19.95 or something. You would still have to go that route because you're not going to have enough people based on an island model in the theater.
Right. If you're doing what, 50, even if you were doing up to 50%, but you're actually talking to about like 25 to 30%.
Yeah, like 25%, say.
Capacity. Yeah.
Right.
And I mean, that's not going to hit the sales.
You're not hitting the sales to make it even break even. You know, with that said, they would still have to be going streaming. I think they just want to like soften people. You know, I mean, with everything, there's early adopters, you know, and there's the young and the brave who just say
people willing to get out there, you know.
Totally. Yeah. So, I mean, if people feel safe and they have vaccines and so on, I would say still wear your mask.
I'm definitely wearing a mask. We're definitely,
yeah, 100%.
We talked about that today. We were talking about like some of our friends got shots and they're like, when are you guys getting your shots? And we're like, I don't know, we're trying. But they're like, they wanted to see us, they wanted to have dinner or something. And I was like, and Ann said, are we still gonna wear masks? And I'm like, yeah, we're gonna wear masks. Like, what? There's no downside to wearing a mask. Like, you know, like, I don't know. Love the mask.
All right. Last question I have for you then. So, okay, vaccines, herd immunity, a year from now, whatever, 2 years from now, whatever.
Yeah.
Do you see your job going back exactly the way it used to be? Do you see it more like it is now or somewhere in the middle of like a hybrid?
I think there's going to have to be a hybrid. I think they're going to have to be sensitive to people that don't want to come back full time or can't come back full time.
Yeah, but let's say it's like a couple of years from now or something, and like things are like, you look at infection rates, death rates, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's more or less, it's like the seasonal flu where like, yeah, during the flu season, it ramps up. Come the flu season's over, it's like it's gone.
It dies down. Right. I think what it's done is it's proved that a lot of work can get done this way.
That's kind of what I'm nudging you to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, we're at full capacity. We're doing all the marketing that we've done before. You know, part of my job is working on the quarterly numbers, and the quarterly numbers look pretty steady throughout the whole pandemic. So we're producing the same amount of work remotely. So I think that in and of itself, just leaves you to say, like, we can do it. So if people want to work remotely, they should be given that flexibility to do so. But I do see a hybrid as being a need. We have a daily stand up, you know, the other day, I think. And everybody said, my kids think that if I'm not in a meeting, that I'm not working. So they constantly like, oh, are you in a meeting? And then when you say no, but you're actually doing work.
Right.
They're like, oh, okay, well, come and throw the football with me or come and do something with me. And I'm like, no.
100%.
There's work. I'm still doing work just because I'm not in a meeting. Thank God I'm not in meetings all day long, but I have work to do, you know? So I think that in and of itself was like a fatigue level where, you know, you try to explain to family that you have work beyond meetings. But if you're in your office, then, you know, you can do your work and have meetings and do all the other stuff. And what I found is that I have like a wider circle of people that I don't work with that I run into pretty regularly coming and going, you know, in the lobby and the elevators and stuff like that. And now some people, you know, we're reorging a little bit, you know, with all the Nat Geo and all the Fox and all that other stuff. So some people are getting reassigned, realigned, you know, promotions and things like that. So some of these people that got promotions are like people that I would run into pretty regularly in the lobby and stuff. So a couple of people, I had to hit them up on Slack and be like, congratulations, I miss seeing you in the lobby. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Maybe that's a weird thing to say to somebody who you see like once a month for the past, you know, 5-6 years, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, no, it's cool, you know? And then the first guy wrote back and he was like, oh, yeah, I hope you're doing well. And then the second guy got announced today and I wrote him and he wrote back too. And I was just like, oh, this is, you know, this is what I miss. I'm missing these other touch points of just like crossing these people, you know?
Yeah, right. I know what you mean. It's funny you talk about being in meetings or doing other work. And my kids are the exact same way. So obviously, you know, I'll be in meetings or something. And then when I'm not, I'm writing reports.
Yeah.
I'm answering emails. I'm scoring protocols on the software. You know, some of it's internet-based, some of it not so internet-based, whatever. But, you know, it's just on the computer. And then Timmy comes by one day and I'm doing, you know, I'm just sitting there and I'm writing and I'm doing whatever I'm doing for work. And he's like, ugh. And you complain about my screen time.
That's awesome. Like,
I'm like, Tim, I'm not watching YouTube videos, my man. You know, like,
this is work.
Believe me, I would rather not be sitting here like on a Word document scoring stuff and plugging and chugging numbers, you know? And yeah. Speaking of screen time,
yes.
Let's talk about Cruella.
Ah, yes.
So I'm watching the trailer.
Okay.
I turn to Clarissa. I say, is this the witch from 101 Dalmatians?
Witch.
And she's, well, I guess she's a witch,
yeah.
Right?
Right. Kind of, yeah.
And so she said, yeah, Cruella. What's her name? Cruella what?
Cruella DeVille.
DeVille, yeah. And Clarissa said, oh, yeah, Cruella DeVille. Oh, okay. Like,
no.
I think I might have seen 101 Dalmatians once when I was like 10.
Oh, man, it's a great movie.
I never said it wasn't. I'm just saying, like.
No, but even the live action ones were good with Glenn Close.
Oh, Glenn Close, yeah. No, not Glenn Close.
Glenn Close was Cruella.
Oh, I thought it was, what's her name? Yeah, I guess it was Glenn Close. I don't know.
You thought it was Sigourney Weaver, didn't you?
No. It'll come to me. We'll keep going. Okay. And when it comes to me, I'll just shout it out.
It'll have no frame of reference.
There'll be no context. I'll just yell her name.
What do you think about Emma Stone taking this younger Cruella DeVille?
You know, the thing I would say about it is, it doesn't tell you a lot about the movie, and it tells you everything you need to know about the movie.
Okay.
In other words, you know it's 101 Dalmatians, which is what tells you a lot about it, but then it kind of leads you through a non-story, but it just shows you a lot of her action.
Right.
Yeah, I think she's going to do fine with it. I mean, I don't really have any feedback since I haven't seen it.
Do you think they should have gotten a Brit?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
This is Anne's bone to pick with it. I said Emma Stone's great. Give her a shot. Let her do it.
I would probably have to see the trailer again. Does she use a faux British accent?
She does. She puts on a little bit of a faux British.
Okay, then. What's the difference? right?
Yeah. Are you going to be upset if there's not a lot of Dalmatians in it?
I think there needs to be, because that's like her calling, you know, her sign in a sense.
Right.
So I wouldn't say there has to be a lot of Dalmatians doing a lot of Dalmatian things, but I mean, they need to be sprinkled throughout the movie, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Another one releasing in May.
Mm-hmm. Another in theaters, yes.
Another in theater.
This is from the official, I think it was U.S. Disney site, so.
You know, again, you know, we don't need to rehash it, but I think vaccines, you know, and all that kind of stuff mm-hmm. need to be put in place before I go. This to Fast and Furious, I definitely like this a lot better. I just think it has more of an appeal. I don't know why.
It has style. It has panache. It has, you know.
Yeah. It's just more appealing to me.
It's different.
Right.
Were you a fan of Maleficent? Did you ever see Maleficent?
I don't think I've ever heard of Maleficent.
Oh. Maleficent is Sleeping Beauty's, the villain in Sleeping Beauty.
Okay. Oh, is that the witch in Sleeping Beauty?
Yes.
I never knew that.
Villain in Sleeping Beauty.
Wow.
And Disney did this where they had a Maleficent movie and they showed the origin of Maleficent, and it was Angelina Jolie. So Angelina Jolie played Maleficent, and she did a couple of movies. They did two movies with her. So I think this is this is following in that track of live action from animated, but it gives you the other angle of the villain as the main character.
What do you mean the other angle of the villain? I'm not sure.
So, you know, like the 101 Dalmatians focuses on the Dalmatians and
Meryl Streep.
Oh, was it Meryl Streep?
I'm asking. I don't know. I told you I would shout it out when I remembered her name.
You were correct. Well, I mean, you did. You followed through with that. But let's see. Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
I don't think it was Meryl Streep. I definitely think it was Glenn Close.
Oh, okay. Maybe you're right. I mean, I didn't see it, so you knew better than me. I was completely sorry to derail, but I said remembered it.
You got to do it.
I would shout it out.
No, it was definitely Glenn Close.
So. Okay. Okay, so it wasn't
well thought, but that's a good casting. We can recast. We should recast like
that. There you go. Oh, so Meryl Streep's becoming an older, an elder. I wouldn't say an elder stateswoman.
Yeah.
So she could. So if we're thinking about this version of Cruella, we could have maybe in a year we can have like the geriatric Cruella. Yeah.
No, she's still got it. Come on.
She's still there. Yeah, I'm assuming you're going to watch this. You're a Disney guy. Yeah.
I love it. Love it. Disney guy. 101 Dalmatians. I love the movie. Love the animated one. I like the couple of live action ones that they've done before. So this is a nice take on it.
Would you say this is going to land both theaters and Disney Plus?
That's going to be interesting when we do
Disney Plus for a rental, probably.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we've ever seen the hybrid in the Disney space. So I don't know.
Or the in theater and Disney Plus released at the same time.
That's what I'm saying. We haven't seen that yet. So if that's the next iteration of how movies are released, then I'd be interested in how they do that.
Okay. Pontificating and speculating.
Yes. Without any inside information.
No. This isn't even where I'm going. Okay, I'm talking like my crystal ball's broken, but maybe yours isn't. My time machine parts are still in the future, so I'm not done building it. But when I get to the future, then I could finish building my time machine and then come back and go back to the future.
Right.
What is your opinion of the theater in, say, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now? Do you think there's going to be a theater, or do you think it's going to be there's still going to be in-home viewing.
Right.
You know, there's still going to be, I don't know what it's going to look like. I mean, super crazy high def. I mean, it's going to be outrageous.
Right.
Do you think the theater maybe reinvents itself with something that can't be had in the home?
Yeah, I think you have to plus it out. You plus it out into a cinema draft house, you know, you make it a whole evening event. You know, you have dinner, movie, dessert, drinks, you know. I think you have to really plus it out and make it a whole couples event.
Almost like going to a Pantages type theater
Exactly. Yeah. I think you have to, but it's watching a movie. And then you have to make it, so you have to change like the price point. It has to go to from like $60 for a family to $150 for a family.
Why would you change it to more expensive?
No, I mean, you have to, because you're going to have fewer people, fewer families going, fewer.
Oh, I see.
Fewer couples going out to do it. So you got to upcharge all the food and the drinks.
Yeah. And I'm thinking in the short term, they're going to be losing numbers exponentially because you're just going to see things in the home. A two-dimensional screen is a two-dimensional screen.
Right.
3D with glasses and stuff. I mean, it's kind of been, you know, it's kind of kitschy a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I think where the theater makes its resurgence, you know, it's rebirth in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think where the theater comes back is when we see something that can't be had in the home. So a movie and, you know, a live action theatrical movie, something similar to like the Star Wars, whatever the game is, the it's like a chess game. What do they call that game? I can't remember.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The holograms, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, like something like that. That
like Up the Aisles or something where they map it out in the aisles. Yeah.
Whatever it might be. Or maybe it's a movie. But again, if you think about it from a Pantages type thing, a theatrical, not movie show theatrical, but Broadway theatrical, you look at it from a theatrical point of view to the extent that it's a movie with the visual effects and everything, but you can't have that stuff in the home.
Right.
Because just the technology isn't had in the home yet, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that's where the theater has its
resurgence.
Yeah, it's reborn in that frame.
Mm. I like the idea of rides, like the rides at Disneyland.
Oh, that's a whole other, yeah.
And they have become more theatrical.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They have that whole Guardians of the Galaxy breakout. You know, they rebranded the Tower of Terror to that. And they have more of like the theatrical set pieces. And then there's the Join the Resistance where you go in and you see like what looks like 100, you know, stormtroopers in front of you. And there's, you know, it's this great set, all these great set pieces that you get to walk around and walk through. And it's part of the movie experience, but it's an extension of it. So I think that's the kind of thing that I can't wait to get back to.
So here's a question. Okay, so Flying California, whatever it's called, Soaring over California, yeah. Whatever it is, right? Imagine the Lord of the Rings director's cut, like 3.5 hours.
With your feet hanging.
And you're just like being jostled and knocked around and getting hit with swords and virtual arrows. I mean, like, I think that, like, there's no way.
They blow hot air when the dragons are flying by, blowing the fire, you know?
Yeah, there is no way. Like, you would go home with PTSD if that was the movie you had to watch in with that kind of five-dimensional stimulus or whatever, because it's like hitting all your senses, you know?
Yeah,
your vestibular senses, like all kinds of stuff.
And especially the sense of smell. They do a lot with the smell. They shoot.
Oh, smell-o-vision.
Yeah, they shoot pine smell at you when you're going over the forests and stuff. And
all I got to say is I am so glad The Walking Dead never had smell-o-vision. All that, you're sitting in the house, it's just the whole night's just rotting flesh.
Yes, rotting flesh. And then all the people all the real people that you hang out with, none of them brush
BO.
None of them brush your teeth, and this BO. Yes.
Oh God. I mean, rotting flesh, BO, dragon breath. I mean, like, yeah, just greasy hair. You know, like, just, oh, God. I mean, like, people taking a dump and just, oh. Can you imagine your house would just be ranking?
Yeah.
I'd have to go watch a Paris Hilton video right after that just to smell perfume. All right, man. What have you watched this week?
Well, how caught up are you on?
Watched it this morning.
So it's so funny.
We watched it at lunchtime. Actually, we were gonna do it. So we get up at 4:45 because we're gonna do the trainer, and I changed our workouts around so they're not so intense, so we could actually watch Wanda. And then we're about to get started, and Clarissa said, "Yeah, I'm glad I'm off today." I said, "You're off today?" "Oh yeah, I took a PTO day. I'm going to stay home today." "Why are we up at 4:45 in the morning if you're not going to work?" So I said, "I'm going to get myself ready, go to the office, do what I got to do. I'm going to test the kid. I'm going to blah, 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 you know?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "When I come home, let's train then, and then we'll go get the boys and everything," right, you know? Right. So I got home and ate lunch, and then we wound up working out and watching Wanda at that time, you know?
So is Wanda too intense for the boys? It's too intense.
I would say it's not too intense. What I would say is I don't think they would get what's going on because they haven't seen any of the other ones.
Oh, okay, okay. So they do Star Wars, but they haven't done any of the Marvel.
Yeah, like tonight, just to briefly get into what we're watching, we watched Revenge of the Sith.
Nice.
So we got that one under the belt. So we have the three originals and the three prequels done. And as I mentioned weeks ago, we're going in order of release.
Right, right.
So we finished Revenge of the Sith next week, because he has his party tomorrow. So next week we're going to be doing, I think we're going to do Solo next.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're doing Solo next. You know, and then when all the Star Wars is over, we're going to get into Marvel, and then I think eventually we'll probably get back to this.
But now it's out of context for them. They don't get it.
It's out of context for me.
But that's what I was about to say. You shot me. I told you that they had all those Easter egg videos and you found one, right? And it says 71 Easter eggs and you're like, I'm out. I can't even keep up with this.
No. So
and that guy's losing his breath. He can't even catch a breath when he's talking about all the Easter eggs.
It's 19 minutes. It's episode 5, 19 minutes, 71 Easter eggs. I'm like, all right, let's see what they have. And he's just like rattling these things off so fast. I might have got 3 minutes in, and I mean, I couldn't keep up. I mean, cognitively, my brain was just, I needed to put him on super slow-mo and hear it, like, not only hear the Easter egg, but have it explained to me in depth. Like, it would have, the 71 Easter eggs would have taken probably like 9 hours for me to get through.
Right.
to comprehend to fully, what was happening.
To fully soak in it.
Yeah. 3 minutes, I was like, I quit. I'm done. I can't handle this.
It's enjoyable without it. It's still enjoyable.
And, you know, the thing is, we're watching it today.
Uh-huh.
And I'm telling Clarissa, just from that 3 minutes, I'm like, I think we just saw like 19 Easter eggs happen.
Anytime there's a number on the screen or some random something, you know that's an Easter egg because they don't waste their they conserve all of this. And Audrey's question is always like, did they mean to do that or did they just laugh at these guys for finding out these things that aren't really there? And I was like, no, I'm pretty sure they're all the same kind of nerds and they all just love to like ratchet it all in and like fit it all in.
Well, when the furniture was flipping around,
uh-huh.
Every time it would happen, I'm like, I think each one of those is an Easter egg.
No, so here's my thing. Last week, we were going to watch
Wait,
it.
Can I pause really quick?
Yeah, go for it.
Spoilers might be had if you haven't seen it at this point because...
Let's do that, yes.
We release on Thursday.
And it's the next one's out tomorrow, so...
Exactly. So it's a week old at this point. If you haven't seen it, it's on you. Keep listening or turn us off. Come back later. But there might be spoilers spoken, and I'm a little bit buzzed. I'm not holding back.
So last week we go to watch and we're going to watch it at lunch. We said that as a family and all four of us.
That's what we did today. We watched it at lunch.
But it's all four of us. So because it's all four of us have to finish their chores and all four of us have to do all their stuff and all four of us have
school
to be.
School.
Yeah. We have to do everything. And last Friday was actually a day off of school, so we had a lot more house chores to do.
Oh, okay.
But we were supposed to do it at lunch. We did end up not doing it at lunch, and we ended up watching it at like right before we record. So I watched it like at 8 o'clock at night, and Audrey was so pissed. She was like, "I've seen spoilers all day for this," you know. So last night, Thursday night, she said, "I'm going to stay up to midnight. I'm going to watch it in my bed." And I was like, "Okay, good luck with that." Because she, I don't know if you remember, but she's like a hardcore sleeper. She loves her sleep, and if it's 9:30, she puts herself to sleep, you know.
Yeah.
So this morning I wake up and I was getting ready to go on my run, and I said, and I walk into her bedroom and I said, "So, were you up? Did you watch it last night?" And she said, "No." She said, I woke up, but I just rolled over and went back to sleep."
Oh, Thursday night at midnight.
Yeah, it comes out.
Because it comes out right at midnight,
right,
then.
Right.
Gotcha. Yeah, okay.
So I went and I was getting ready to go on my run, and I said, "Oh, look, I walked back in and I said, "Ann, let's make a deal. Instead of going on my run right now, let's get the kids up. We'll watch it. It's like 7 o'clock in the morning. We'll watch it
like
right
Saturday
now.
Morning cartoon.
Like Saturday right. morning cartoon." So we all got on the sofa and snuggled up and we watched it at 7 o'clock in the morning. The kid and Bryce.
Episode 7.
Eight?
The latest one.
Yeah, whatever the latest one was.
Yeah, 7.
And the big reveal, you know.
Agatha.
And, no, I mean, it was a double reveal. Rambo got her superpowers, and she was revealed as a superhero, you know?
Yes.
And she does the superhero pose where she's thrown to the ground, but she lands on one knee and one fist.
I said that, too. She lands. I said to Clarissa, I'm like, "The superhero landing."
And Bryce and I are like screaming and hitting each other going like, "Oh, look, it's an origin story," you know. And then so we watch it this morning and they did their own Easter eggs. You know, they did the Agatha scroll at the end. When did you watch all the way through the end? Did you watch through the credits?
Yes.
With the little buttons. They had two buttons on it.
But
two scenes after the credits.
I didn't see the credits are like 8 minutes long. So I fast forwarded to the end of the credits.
Good.
Well, no. And then I hit play and then it just went to it just said it was done. It went to Age of Ultron or something.
Oh, right. But no, they do the one where Rambo's at the gate of the basement.
Oh, I'll have to watch that.
Oh, yeah. Watch it again. There's one. Okay. It's like after the main sequence, she goes to the basement, and they haven't done it before. They haven't done buttons before. So I was like, we'll just turn it off. And Audrey's like, "No, wait, there might be a button." And luckily she said that because there was. You have to watch the credits.
Right. And we always fast forward all the way to the end. And I'm like, see, they didn't show anything. Because just in case,
just in
right?
case
they,
right?
So they must have like somehow hit it to people who fast forward.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe it was that short that you just, like when you're fast forwarding, it just jumped over it.
Or that could be too. Yeah.
But yeah, what did you think? So I love where they're going. I love the reveal. It really feels...
How many episodes is this going to be? Do you know?
I think there's two more episodes.
So 9 total?
Yeah, either 9 or 10.
Or 10.
I thought tonight was, I thought today was 8.
Today was 7.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I didn't see Agatha coming, and the flipping around furniture and how things were changing, the wallpaper, I'm assuming that was Agatha.
So here's my thought on that was that this was Scarlet Witch, it was Wanda, because she had to extend the perimeter of her reality. She kind of lost control over like the local stuff, the stuff that, you know, if you're,
oh, okay, yeah,
if you're working out, if you have like a perimeter and you have control over everything in that perimeter, and then you're forced to expand that perimeter and you have to control everything even beyond that, then maybe you lose control over little bits in here and there.
I gotcha.
Did you get the sitcom motifs that they were playing with?
Well, you saw The Office.
Yeah, The Office was definitely there.
The Office.
And then it was also Modern Family. They had a little Modern Family.
Modern Family,
so,
yeah.
So I enjoyed that.
Yeah. Breaking the Fourth Wall, as they called it. You know?
Exactly.
I like the title.
Did you hear that Randall Park he's in like 150 movies. He has like 150 credits. You know, this is our 150th episode. I think he has a lot of credits, and
I've seen him in a lot of stuff.
And Audrey said that they're online, they're making it fun of it a little bit. Well, they're kind of paying him homage and saying he's the center of the Wooniverse.
Yeah, I've seen him in a lot of things. I mean, he's probably like the quintessential character actor,
right?
Who, he's got that face that just fits into anything.
Yeah,
I mean, overall, Wanda's,
it's setting it all up.
I would say I'm glad you talked me into it. It's been a lot. I mean, the way it began, the first few episodes, first 2 to 3 episodes, if I didn't want to stick with it, I think I wouldn't have, but it's worth sticking through.
Yeah. I mean, it's,
yeah,
it's
for sure.
It's definitely grown into maybe like the caliber of a movie, of a Marvel movie.
Of a schmovie.
Of a Marvel schmovie, of course, yes.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Even better than a movie. Did you see anything else this week?
Yeah, we finished the Challenger documentary.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I was wondering, like, I remember it like it was yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I've seen it so many times, the footage. Is it that I've seen the footage so many times over the past 35 years that it seems like yesterday, or does it seem like yesterday?
Right.
Or both. I don't know. And we were watching it, you know, finishing it and everything, and I don't remember what the scene was, but I made some, like, little comedic crack, and Clarissa gives me this, like,
dirty look.
Look of, like, needle eyes.
Oh, no.
And I said, too soon? Oh. 35 years later, I mean, come on, give me a break,
right.
You know? I mean, right. Maybe it's always too soon, I don't know. But, yeah, it's incredible, though, how, you know, just, I mean, the arrogance,
yeah,
you know, and some people, and you see it in your own career, you know, it's like, you know, what's happening isn't right, but you feel powerless to speak up and voice your opinion, even though you see an injustice or something unethical being done, you know, and it's like, but I think it's a lesson in say what's got to be said and be the better person because, well, you could blow up a spaceship.
Yes. You know, if they give you weather reports, if somebody has an issue, then maybe don't send it up.
And, you know, I even told Clarissa, I said, in the end, always err on the side of caution.
Right.
Like the mere fact you're questioning and having
second thoughts
or having just, you know, you're meeting to talk about, should we, should we not? Huh. I wonder. That's probably an indicator that you shouldn't.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like if you're having a caucus that says, well, this could happen. You think it will? I don't know, but like that's an indicator that you shouldn't launch the thing.
Right.
Ugh, man. And then well, I mentioned Revenge of the Sith tonight. And then last week we did Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark.
With the boys. Okay. The opening of that's kind of a little graphic, I think.
The whole movie they loved until the faces started melting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that they kind of lost it there. They were, and I said, Tim, what'd you think? You know, when it was all over, he said, he gives me like the thumb halfway kind of sign.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, what was bad about it? Or I said, what was good? What was bad? He said, whole movie was great. And then their faces melted off.
They kind of leave you. Gotta leave you with a bad taste in your mouth with that.
Yeah.
or the space where your mouth used to be, right?
Exactly. Yeah, they really enjoyed it, you know, and I think they understood what was happening because, you know, I've talked about like World War II and Nazis, and, you know, whatever, you know, and that it kind of follows that lineage, that time frame and time period and such. And so I think they kind of understood like what was going on in the time. And, you know, we talked a little bit about that. But yeah, the faces melting off, they just lost it.
Mm-hmm.
They were done. Overall, though, I think they want to see more.
Okay.
It's just, yeah, they were just like, let's finish up some Star Wars series.
Right.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, I remember a lot of the movie. I think one of my favorite scenes is he's in Nepal
yeah.
to see Miriam, and she's in that drinking contest.
Yes, yes.
And the guy with the pie face,
uh-huh.
he reaches for his drink, and he throws back the shot and has that shit-eating grin yeah, he just falls over. I love that. Like, I think when I watched it as a young kid, uh-huh. you know, like, I just didn't get it to the extent I do today.
Right.
You know?
It's so great.
Oh, and he's just like, and you just see him, and he's maneuvering his fingers through all the glasses.
Uh-huh.
And he finds a shot, and he just throws it back, and he has this shit-eating grin like, yep,
I'm done.
Bam. And he just falls out. But the fact she could hold back her booze like that is shocking.
It was great. Yes.
Oh, shocking. How about you? What'd you watch?
So this evening we watched a movie that your boys would love, Flora and Ulysses. Have you seen anything for this?
Flora and Ulysses? I don't think I've ever heard of it.
So Flora and Ulysses is a great kids novel, kids book.
Okay.
About a little girl who likes superheroes. And she saves a squirrel from a certain doom, and the squirrel actually turns out to be a superhero as well.
Oh, is this on Disney?
Disney Plus.
Okay, Flora and Ulysses.
Flora and Ulysses. If you hop on Disney Plus, it'll be there. It'll be in the top.
We'll
the top thing.
Have them watch.
And Audrey read this book years ago, 5, 10, I don't know how many years ago. And during the first half hour of the movie, she kept saying like, "Oh, it's not like that in the book. It's not like this isn't like that in the book. I hope they have a."
Oh, she's one of those.
I hope that. And I was like, Audrey, just shut up. Like, let's just enjoy this movie for being a movie. And it's so funny. So you see a guy that's running the comic store, and it's Bobby Moynihan. And I was like, oh, that's interesting, you know, because Disney, that's one of the Huey, Dewey, or Louie. I think, let's see, he's Louie. He's one of the ducks from DuckTales, you know? And then later, a few minutes later, there's Ben Schwartz. And he's in this okay. movie too, live action. And oh, he plays the dad. Oh, he's Dewey. He's the other, he's one of the other, one of the other ducks of Huey, Dewey, and Louie from DuckTales. And then a little bit later, you see the waitress, and she's Kate Mucci, right? And I was like, oh my God, that's Webby. It's like another duck from DuckTales. And then the guard is Danny, who's Huey from DuckTales. So they have all four of the kid ducks in DuckTales in this live action movie. And Audrey was like, what? They can't just hire other people? They have to reuse the characters, reuse this. And I was like, no, it must be fun for them to act in something that's live action so they can be together and stuff. So, but it was really interesting to see all these human duck eggs instead of Easter eggs, you know?
Yeah, very cool. I mean, I always like that stuff, especially when kids get involved. And
so that released today. So that's why it's all new for us.
Okay.
And it's so funny because Bryce, Audrey, and myself were laughing. It's, you know, it's funny, you know, first hour into it. And I look over at Anne, and after dinner, Anne's like in her phone and just like on the sofa. And I was like, Anne, you don't find this stuff funny? And she said to me, like deadpan, she's like, am I laughing? And I said, no, you aren't laughing.
Why didn't she find it funny?
It's just like hijinks and like slapstick and... You know, I don't know. She just wasn't into it.
That's funny. Yeah, you know, and other than that, we haven't, I mean, that's all we had for the week. So
yeah, that's a chock full week.
Oh yeah. Especially when you're talking, I mean, what's Sith? Like the 2:45 or something? Two and a half hours. Yeah.
Did you like in Sith? Was that in Sith or is it in Clone Wars? The lizard thing. Is that Clone Wars?
The one that goes blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that Clone Wars?
But, I hated that.
Is that Clone Wars or is that Sith?
No, that was Sith.
Okay. And it's doing that and it's climbing with
that,
Obi-Wan.
That call?
Yeah. And it's climbing out of that
because
thing,
he's
right?
chasing. Yeah, I hated that thing. Yeah. Yeah. It drove me insane. It was way too noisy. Yeah.
How'd your beer finish up?
As it warmed, it got better. It was like less donut-y. And
okay.
I think it became more of like a stout and you could taste like the alcohol kind of on the back end and everything. I think it was good. You know, it's definitely one of those kind of beers, like one's enough.
Uh-huh.
One for the evening, I mean. Right. I'm not saying one ever, but you're not going to, like, you could have some IPAs, like, say, a Lagunitas IPA, right?
Yeah.
You're going to drink six of those and get smashed. Right. Easy. This is one beer, like, it kind of, it's heavy on the palate.
Fills you up.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a dessert, but, you know, it's like eating churros. I mean, how about yours?
Mine was good. Mine ended more like a Belgian than it started, less fruity, but it was good. It was nice, solid, you know, Belgian beer. So I enjoyed it.
Very cool. All right, man. Well, let's get out of here.
Okay.
And I had a great night as usual for episode 150. Man, 150 of these things we did already.
In the books. Have a good night.
In the can. All right, man. Later.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.